Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Time now for headlines as we predict what will happen on Sunday as the Packers take on the Vikings at Lambeau Field.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
I'm going to do something crazy.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say kissing cousins. Pack bikes tie.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
He missed it again! And we'll end this crazy game in a tie. Oh my goodness.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, I think we figured out the formula for the worst possible scenario for clock management on Wilde and Tausch.
What's that? You think this is running the
show all by yourself with Bulaga joining as a guest. It's 10:24.
Yeah. Well, I made the mistake. And again, I didn't know the World Cup. I was listening to a podcast on my walk this morning, and World Cup being here, him being a big soccer fan, I had to throw him that bone, just like I get my tennis bone thrown. He went a little long. So I'm putting that on Bulaga.
You're going to put that on him, even though you asked him the question at 10:17 when we were already way past. Never mind.
Yeah, if we got out at 10:18 or 10:19, we're all content. That's the normal time for Bulaga.
Very Truman-like of you. The 10 o'clock hour starts at almost 10:30 on Wilde and Tausch. Jesse and Tausch for the time being. That's because Jason is in attendance at Matt LaFleur's press conference before minicamp practice number 2 going on today up in Green Bay. He will host the remainder of the show coming up live from Green Bay as the Packers get back to practice. He'll share insights and observations as we continue on.
I did find Bulaga's stuff on Lucas Van Ness. Listen, man, the Jordan Morgan component to this, he's going to be scrutinized all training camp. Doesn't need to be, in my opinion, doesn't need to be scrutinized on a Tuesday of OTAs, mini camp. Like, I'm just not doing that. But when Lucas Van Ness's name keeps popping, that's a really good sign. I think he obviously knows it's a big boy year for him. He's got the option that's there, but he needs to have a good, big year. He's a first round pick. He has not lived up to probably the expectations he had for himself. And I just think when you start looking at what he has, all the skills to be a really good football player. And we've seen glimpses of what he can do. It's been very good. Now he just needs to consistently do it. And I think he needs to get some counters. Unfortunately, I wish we weren't having this conversation 4 years in, because I said this when he got drafted. It was, man, he has this foundation of power. That's going to be great in the NFL. But it ain't going to be good enough to be a big-time player. You're going to be a nice, solid, steady NFL player. That's fine if you're a fifth, sixth, seventh-round pick. You're 12th overall, 13th overall, whatever it was. The expectation game's higher. You got to have a little wiggle, a little jiggle to get to the QB. And having those counters off of that power is where I think he needs to elevate. And I hope, you know, even though it wasn't padded and everything else, I hope that that's part of it. And I really think not only Micah's effect on the field, where you're going to have one-on-one cover, you're going to have one-on-one blocking schemes against you almost exclusively when Micah's back. And then also the way Micah approaches the game, studies the film, leads, that can be such a force multiplier for LVN and for a Sorrell. That's why you should be excited about it. But we were excited about that with Rashawn Gary too, and it didn't maybe work out the way we had hoped.
We'll talk more about Lucas Van Ness and what you guys all had to say when Jason returns to join the show coming up live from Packers minicamp. You did tease going into the start of this hour. You wanted to talk about the baby stadium in Vegas. What'd you have on the Brewers last night?
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, how many home runs have the A's hit in this series?
I don't know.
12.
I think they scored every run on home runs last night.
And their routine, again, man,
there were a couple of pop-ups that ended up going yard, yeah.
Dehumidifying the balls in a thin air.
Five home runs last night for the Las Vegas A's.
So I think that's 12 now for the course of two games, right? Is that the number? That's absurd. It's absurd. So, and it's not as cute when the Brewers lose, right? It's not quite as cute
now
when the Milwaukee Brewers don't win. All of a sudden, all you guys, you and Bruss, talking about how awesome watching that game is, and is it? So let's get this thing, get this series done and move it along. This is crazy town.
I mean,
hopefully when they get the new stadium actually built, it'll be a major league stadium and not one of these little pop-up shops.
It will. They showed the renderings of it last night. Churio had a pop-up that ended up going for a home run, I think, to lead off the game. It was in the top of the first inning. It was a two-run dinger, so he wasn't the first batter of the game. But it was very similar to what we saw on Monday night. So they're back at it tonight, 1 hour earlier tonight than the last two games, 8:05 first pitch. So it might actually end before midnight this time around. Last night, it actually ended up like 11:40. I went to bed before midnight last night. So stick around and listen to it tonight on 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison. All right, Tausch, before we play trivia, you want to tell everybody about Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
I do indeed. Hard Rock Casino Rockford is about an hour outside of Madison, and a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. They offer the most generous and most frequent promotions of any casino in the Midwest. And today is for the classic rockers at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Guests who are 55 and older, invited to the Hard Rock Cafe. You get 50% off meals of $40 or less. Play, dine, shop, enjoy live shows, and, of course, that great sports book. Probably a home run or two that you could look at for tonight's game against the Las Vegas A's. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off of I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. So we're going to do a little trivia here.
Yeah, right, I might get my dream come true. Jason's at Matt LaFleur's press conference. We'll see if he's ready to rejoin us coming up next. You're stepping away for a moment before you rejoin us. I might hold this down solo. This might be my time to shine, finally.
Finally what you've always wanted, and you now get to go do it. Good luck with trivia.
Chase the dream and the fame. I might get both here. Wisconsin Geography Wednesday on Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Caller number 10 right now at 844-770-3776. Caller number 10 right now, 844-770-3776. Your chance to play Wildy and Tausch Trivia, presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Caller 10 plays trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We temporarily say goodbye to old T and say hello to me. Matt LaFleur done addressing reporters inside the Don Hudson Center because it is raining cats and dogs outside here in Green Bay. We will have some of the highlights from Matt LaFleur coming up, including a very strong statement on rookie fifth-round draft pick Jagger Burton and what he has shown, having gotten some work with the number one offense each of the last two open practices we've seen. He was at right guard last week during an open OTA and with at left guard with Aaron Banks missing some time yesterday. So we'll talk about what Matt LaFleur saw. First, and for trivia presented by Lord's Golf and Cousin Subs.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Vortex Golf, rangefinders you can bet on, and by Cousin Subs. Have a grad to celebrate? Purchase $30 in Cousin Subs gift cards and receive a free 7.5-inch sub. Cousin Subs, they believe in better.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Andy in Union Grove, a first-time contestant.
Good morning,
Andy, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Doing great.
Beautiful day here in Green Bay. Is the weather nice in Union Grove, or are you getting soaked as well?
Sun is shining. A little hot, but we'll survive.
Well, that's nice.
Storm's
Packers
coming.
Packers going through their calisthenics.
Time now for so here's what we're going to do. Since Tausch usually plays along with Wisconsin Geography Wednesday trivia, and he stepped away, and I'm back, Jesse is going to ask the questions. I will make sure that I don't help, because Tausch doesn't really help when he does this. But I'm going to play along and see if I agree or disagree with Andy. So, Jesse, take it away.
Feels like the Wizard of Oz. People come and go so quickly here. I'm the only one constant on the show all day today. All right, Andy.
Yeah, you're the Yeah, you're the constant.
You know
yes,
me.
That's true.
Always here. Showing up. Question number one. Andy, in Union Grove, Micah Parsons and Jordan Love co-hosted the annual Green Bay charity softball game last weekend. Played each year at which of these Wisconsin stadiums? Was it at Neuroscience Group Field in Appleton, American Family Field in Milwaukee, or my old stomping grounds of Bloom Park in Muskego?
Let's go with A.
Jason?
As much as I wanted it to be the Muskego Home Park, I will agree with Andy. Neuroscience Group Field in Appleton.
And you both are correct. Yes, that is where that softball game took place. Did you go, Jason? I know you had to get back from the AmFam Championship on Friday. You didn't come to my party. Did you go to Micah's softball game?
I did not. I snubbed him like I snubbed you.
Ah, nice. All right, Andy, you're on the board. Thanks. Question number two. Longitudinally.
Man,
you just can't help yourself, Jason. You like it too much.
No, I can't.
Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest east? Is it Stockbridge, Stevens Point, or Sturtevant?
Oh, jeez.
I'll say Sturtevant.
Sturtevant is the guess from Andy. Jason?
I honestly don't know this one, so I'm going to agree with Andy and hope that he got it right.
He did! Sturtevant down
well
near
done.
Racine.
Nice. Two for two.
Pretty close to Lake Michigan in the southeast part of the state. Stockbridge is east of Lake Winnebago, but a little further west than Sturtevant is. Question number three. This is inspired by my friend John, who is getting married later this year, and I realized I didn't know where this city is. Which of these statements is true when describing the location of Kewaskum, Wisconsin? Which of these is true?
The radio show.
True, describing the location of Kewaskum, Wisconsin. Who are you talking to, Jason?
Adam Stenovich.
Oh, hey,
tell him. Once in a while, I'm listening to the headphones.
Tell him what's up. All right, which is true, Andy, of Kewaskum? Kewaskum is north of West Bend. Kewaskum is south of Beaver Dam. Or Kewaskum is west of Oshkosh. Only one of those is true. Which is it?
I have no idea. Let's go B.
Andy says B. Kewaskum is south of Beaver Dam. Jason?
So, considering that Andy doesn't know that, I'm not going to agree with him. He said south of Beaver Dam.
That is what Andy said.
I'm going to say north of West Bend. Was that the first choice, right?
That was.
West Bend?
It is not west of Oshkosh. Unfortunately for Andy, it is north of West Bend.
Nay! Give me an entry.
So Jason is correct. Andy is incorrect. Andy, that means you get three of the possible four entries into our drawing on Friday for the Vortex Golf and Cousin Subs gift package. Back to you, Jason.
Andy, I'm sorry. I would much rather have you gotten the third one right than me, but you still got a good chance of winning the prize pack on Friday from Vortex Golf and Cousin Subs. Buddy, we appreciate you playing for the first time. Hope you'll play again. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Love you.
I love you guys.
That is Wildy at Tausch Trivia. So I am standing at the far end of the field, and all the other media members are at the opposite end of the field. So I think Steno was giving me a hard time for like standing on my own, like I have body odor or don't have any friends. Well, which also those may be true as well, frankly.
Yeah.
It was nice of him to notice and say hi. So we will continue now that we have completed Will the Intouch trivia presented by Cousin Subs and by Vartex Golf. We'll have more as the Packers mini camp practice number two rolls on. So stick around. It's Will the Intouch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Whatever you do, make sure you know what that music means. It means the GOATs. Steve the Homer True is on the Yuengling Goat Hotline. Yuengling, America's oldest brewery, 197 years old, now in Wisconsin. Six generations family owned and operated. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Please enjoy responsibly. And when I think of responsible, I think of the Goat, Steve the Homer True. Homer, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for asking. We spent a lot of time talking about Keyshawn Nixon, and I am curious because you're a relatively opinionated fella. What is your opinion of Keyshawn Nixon?
My opinion about how good he is?
However you would like to interpret that, what is your opinion of Keyshawn Nixon?
The fact that he is where he is proves what a problem they have at cornerback. Mm-hmm. He has no
That's
business
fair.
Being viewed as he's viewed. I think there have been a situation, and I don't know if it's exactly, but it was like, it reminds me of Alan Lazard. Whatever he isn't what they have him listed as.
Mm.
So, does that mean he's no good? No. But it just proves they need better.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one, and I know Jesse loves to compare people to Alan Lazard, but this comp is actually an accurate one. Like, if you've managed the wide receiver position properly and, I don't know, extended Devontae Adams like you should have, then Alan Lazard is never your number one wide receiver, which is what he was in 2022. And if you have managed the cornerback position the way you should have, then Keyshawn Nixon is not your number one corner in 2026. So I think that's a really good comp. Now, what I would say is this, and I was just talking to somebody about this, like I don't think people have an accurate view of what Keyshawn Nixon is. He is not a great shutdown, number one, top dollar, first team all pro corner. We all know that, and he may think
but
differently,
but
he's a solid starter. He plays, he can be a little inconsistent like every other cornerback on the planet, but he is not the player that fans view him as being. I understand they don't like him. I get it, but I think he is a better player than he gets credit for.
I think
for.
They like him. I agree with that.
So my experience from yesterday when Cheesehead TV posted what they did from my conversation with Tausch on our show. I mean, they got 193 replies at my last count, and I would say 188 of them were negative. Like, people just don't like him.
In what context?
About that they don't think he's any good. They certainly...
Well, that's separate to me, yes. It's like they didn't like Lazard. I think that they don't like him as the number one cornerback, but that's not his fault.
No, they don't.
Like
they
question
don't.
Is, do you like Keyshawn Nixon? I'm going to do that as a discount liquor Twitter poll question. I want to see what it is. Do you like Keyshawn Nixon?
And I might we'll get about 76 votes.
But I don't know if that's – if you say do you like him, that can be influenced by as a number one quarterback. And
yeah,
I don't want to do that, but
I think it goes beyond just the fact that they don't think he's as good. And again, you can text us on the Carbless Talk and text line 844-770-3776.
So what's their complaint with him?
There was the tackle at the goal line. They didn't like what they saw there, that he turned down on the touchdown during the playoff game, which I don't think even if he meets that, I can't remember if it was Manungai, but if he meets him head on, he still scores a touchdown. He just gets run over in the process, but I get it.
Did he respond to why he did it? Why he acted that way on that play?
No, because we, that was the game where Nate Hobbs wouldn't let us talk to him after the game, where he was like running interference for him, which was also obnoxious at a high level. So I think it's that. I think there's some
but
people that think he's. I mean, I could ask him today. I think they think he's brash. I will let him know. Yes. The goat wants to know. Yeah. I think he's a little brash. I think it is his, I think it's also just the fact that this is a guy who is not, he does not have the pedigree of a number one corner. And I mean, they signed him for next to nothing in his first contract when he left the Raiders, where he was barely playing. Then he ends up being a first team all pro kickoff return guy and punt return guy. Then he does make the comment, which I also think rubbed people the wrong way, that he didn't want to return kicks anymore. Right. I think people took that and said, what is this guy? So that bothered them. And then obviously, you know, what corners do get burned. They all do. Even the best ones do on occasion, but he was the 41st rated corner on Pro Football Focus. That makes him in the top 20 of number two corners, which I would argue would be fair, right? Or maybe even higher if you got to go 32 down for number one corners. He's in the top 10 to 12 of number two corners. That's what he should be on this team. If he was your number two corner, I would think people would love him. But he's not. He's their number one corner, and he doesn't measure up. So I was surprised. Well, not surprised. I knew what was going to happen when they posted that. But it was the negative reaction toward him is what drives engagement. All right. The other player that yes, please do.
Well, the discussion about Van Ness, how long, and people know this better than I, because basically I go, this is all garbage. Like, he's in what number of year? Oh, he's going to learn this. Dude, if he ain't learned it by now, he ain't ever learning it. And you can bring
just wait,
on
Homer. You're telling me that your distinguished broadcasting career, both play-by-play and hosting a show, you didn't get better from year three to year four. You were the same guy from year two to year 41. Like, come on.
You're 41.
Okay, wait a minute. Again, you know, why don't you ask a plumber? This is not about me. This is not about plumbers. You played in the NFL. You saw
and you can
players.
Get better.
Tell me a
yes.
player. Hold on. Just tell me one player, a defensive player, who elevated
Trey
the
Hendrickson.
Game. What is Van Ness?
Trey Hendrickson.
What?
Trey Hendrickson.
Okay, explain what happened.
Okay, so Trey Hendrickson was a guy, he was a nice player, nothing great.
In New Orleans.
About year three or four, all of a sudden something clicked and he started figuring things out. And then he went to Cincinnati and he's become an absolute, he was a wrecking ball there. Jared Allen's another guy who was a low pick.
Okay, how many guys in Green Bay have you ever seen? How many guys in Green Bay and all
Homer,
your time in Green Bay?
Hey, you just asked me.
I know you
Aaron
gave
Kampman.
Me an answer. I can't
hey,
ask another question.
Aaron Kampman,
you gave me
Nick
an answer.
Perry.
You guys from other teams.
All right, hold up. Aaron Kampman, Nick Perry is a good example of somebody that had a slower start to their career, and by year three, four, they ended up getting better and better, and ended up having a better pass rush, got more moves, figured some things out. Those are two just off the top of my head. I'm sure there's more. All Vonnie right. Holiday, okay. I think, got a lot better as he got there.
Nah,
as he continued
I mean,
to play.
No, that's garbage. Come on. Bonnie
what do you
Holiday,
mean that's garbage?
That bad choice. Nah, but
why?
Van Ness is in what, his fourth year?
Yeah,
he is. Mm-hmm. Fourth year.
Van Ness. Yeah. Like Bonnie Holiday, what did he do the fourth? Come on. You just say, I'm
what
sorry
do you mean,
about
on.
Bonnie Holiday. That doesn't.
So, you know, another
because
example
people
of Derek Engler.
Play hey. Long before his fourth year.
And Derek Engler just texted me. Michael Strahan started off his career pretty slow. And I think he got a little bit better with moves and everything else. He ended up becoming a Hall of Fame player. Okay. He wasn't after year
two
or three.
I'd have to look. I'd have to
well,
look.
Derek
would
have played with him.
He played with his teammate. Played with him.
I think you want to take Strahan back. You're getting worse. You're going goofy now. It's hurting your position. But if you want to throw Strahan in there, you just go right ahead.
Well, I just did. And his former teammates listening to the show
just
texted me.
Destroyed your position.
Longtime single season sack leader.
You compared Van Ness in terms of what you're asking to do, similar to what Michael Strahan did. That's correct. Do I have that right? That was my question.
You Homer, don't misconstrue things. I'm not interested.
I want to make sure you explain your position correctly.
Okay.
Yes.
You
explain
asked me
your position on Strahan comparing.
If you'd stop yelling at me, I could tell you what it is. Here's what you
I will.
Asked.
I want to make sure you do it right.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. You asked me who gets better. You didn't even know I was back on the show. You asked the question, who gets better in year four? And I just named six guys without even blinking.
I'm accepting that. I need to check those six. I don't think the six are accurate in terms of what they've done to what Van Ness has done. But then you added Strahan as one of the six. And I just want to make sure.
Strahan started off his career. People thought of him as a bust when he first got started.
Okay. All right. Okay, I want to look in his career to see exactly when it occurred and what he'd done.
All right.
But you realize you have put Strahan in a category that could fit, you believe, with Van Ness. I want to make explain your position when it goes national. Yes. Make sure that you explain it.
Mark
Pauscher, Packer Hall of Famer, just compared Van Ness to Michael
Strahan.
Shut
his mic off.
Which you did.
Mic off. That's not what I said. What I said.
You did compare him.
Homer, you posed the question of who at year four could make this jump. Because your understanding is that everybody is, this is what it is. My point was. And Derek Engler put Michael Strahan out there. So if you want to clip it, clip Derek Engler. The guys that are strong players, that are big physical guys.
He didn't play for the Packers for 10 years, offensive line. Go ahead.
He just go ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm getting a taste of – I don't know who I'm getting a taste of, but it's Homer's irritating me.
Go ahead.
The point that you
I'm
brought
trying to help
up,
you.
No, you're not. You're annoying me, and that's fine. I'm open to being annoyed. You asked a question. Really get better? I don't have a comp for Lucas Van Ness. I'm not putting him in Michael Strahan's category. What I'm saying is Michael Strahan was not the polished pass rusher in year one, two, and three. He continued to add moves, continued to figure out how do I utilize my strength, which was my power, which is going to be Lucas Van Ness's strength, is his power. How do I utilize that so I can beat these offensive tackles more consistently? Because as I talked with Bulaga about, it's not going to be, I'm going to steamroll you 35 times. I want that as an offensive tackle. How can I utilize that threat of power to utilize into different moves that will get to the quarterback? Strahan figured it out. Hendrickson figured it out. The Bosa brothers figured it out. There's a lot of players that have figured it out, and not saying Lucas Van Ness will, but by all accounts yesterday in a non-padded practice, he had a good day. You have good days in non-padded practices usually by hand swipes and different moves. You're not bull rushing people over, or if you are, nobody cares. There you go.
Okay. All right. You'll get other times to answer it. I mean,
I just
compare him to those.
Compared who?
Van Ness to those players.
No, I'm saying Lucas Van Ness, you can't write him off as this is who he is because he can evolve just like those players evolved. That's my stance. Thank you for your
other
attention to this matter.
Other players have not evolved, correct? No, other players in this situation.
We don't talk about those players, Homer. We don't know about them.
We don't want to be accurate.
No, there's 100, probably for those guys, there's 100 guys that did evolve. So there's a chance Lucas Van Ness is going to be one of those guys, for sure.
Why do you pick him as one of those six versus one of the
– I didn't pick him. I'm saying he can. I don't know if he will. He can. You said nobody can do it. Nobody's done it. Year four, you are who you are. And I said, no, that's not true.
Six out of 200.
Yeah, it's a rare. It's like an albatross.
Now we're cooking. Right, right. So it is possible, but you would now say that for him to do that would be rare.
Yes.
Okay, I'll take that.
I'll also say he was a 13th overall pick, and that is also very rare. And that means that the Green Bay Packers evaluated his talent and thought he could be one of these albatrosses. Whether or not he's going to be, he has not been yet. And your critique and criticism's fine. But don't just say, because this is where he's been, he can't get any better. Because he's been hurt. And when he's played, he's been a good NFL player. Can he elevate?
You just made my position. Yes, he has a chance. 6 out of 200. I'll go with that. Yes, I'm an accountant. That's a really, really slim chance. And when you present it that way,
about 3%.
Yes. But then my position that it's unlikely is also
how many great
fact,
pass rushers are there
wrong.
In the NFL?
It's very unlikely.
Not that many.
I don't know.
It's not that many.
You gave me an example. Well, not that many.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So
then
if
we
you,
really shouldn't have high expectations because there aren't that many that good anyway.
Don't have – hey, Pippi Longstocking, I don't care what your expectations are. I'm saying he can be better and he can be a lot better
Pippi
with Micah Parsons. With Micah Parsons guiding him, I think he has a better chance to be better.
You spend your time telling people about expectations of Jordan Love. That's what we do. So now answer, what is your expectation of Van Ness this year?
My expectations are he's going to be a really good, solid player. And if he can incorporate some of these moves, I think he could be a 7 to 10 sack guy a year because he's going to be singled up all season once Micah's back. Those are my expectations. My expectations aren't that he's going to be Nick Bosa or Michael Strahan. But to say that he can't do that isn't fair to him. That was my point. But you didn't want to – you completely just ran me over
and steamrolled it with your own
arrogance and just ran with it, and that's fine.
No,
you
my own arrogance. I want to be on record. There is 0% chance that he will ever be in the category of those six players. And I can't go zero, so I say 5%. So you brought them at, that's fine, because they've done it. But
the odds are you're going
to
be right.
The
odds are you'll be right.
And you just said the same. You agreed with me. By what
you said
were your expectations.
No, Jason, that's not true. The point you brought up that I brought these guys into the equation is
I got to go. I'm sorry. I got to go. I forgot.
Yeah, get out of here.
I'm late.
You
can finish however you want. Bye.
Good. Good night. Jason, the point he made was that you can't. And
go
I'm
ahead.
Telling you, you
All
can't.
All right, so, right, but I think, as is often the case with the GOAT, he's always 0 or 100, although I am proud of the fact that I've convinced him now to give up on 0%, and he still gives 5% now, but he really means 0% still. His point is that it is highly unlikely that in year 4, Lucas Van Ness is going to become that type of player. Now, you brought up guys that are obviously very unique story, not very unique because unique means one of a kind, but they are unusual stories of guys that did not do a whole lot and then became really great players, right? I mean, no one is ever going to say, yeah, I think he's got a chance to be Michael Strahan. It was a good example of a guy who started slow and then came on like gangbusters. I personally think that the things you said about having Micah Parsons whenever that happens and having more single blocking opportunities, I like Lucas Van Ness's chances of being productive. But the odds of him being a 14 sack guy and Parsons being a 16 sack guy, probably not very high, right? The idea of him becoming some of the players that you and Derek Engler brought up are very small, but he can be certainly much better than he and more productive than he has been. And I would say that's in part because, one of the reasons why he hasn't been productive is legit injury issues too. Like we all focus on the Christian Watson injuries. The guy played with a broken thumb all of 2024. It never healed, and he never was able to use that hand very effectively. And as you well know, hand usage for a pass rusher is important. So I don't give him a complete pass. You got to figure out a way to get to the quarterback anyway. But that was a factor in his minimal production in 2024. Last year, dude missed 7 games. By the way, he missed the same number of games that Christian Watson did, right? But nobody's really talking about the risk of a fifth-year option with Lucas Van Ness for some reason. So, again, I think
here's the deal.
You guys actually more agree than you are letting on. The way you
no,
guys,
Homer
you guys
said
just
that
chose
you
words
are
differently.
No, Homer just said you are who you are, and you can't get any better. And as an athlete, that's complete hogwash, and he should know better. If Lucas Van Ness gives you 7 to 10 sacks in the next 3 or 4 years of his career, you're going to be happier than a clam. Period.
Would you sign him to an extension if he's giving you 7 to 10 sacks this year and next year?
What is the dollar amount? Is top dollar? No. Middle of the pack dollars? Yes.
Okay. I'm glad we can all agree-ish. More Will Detail straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Our Crew.
Thompson takes strike 3 called. Fastball right in there, 103 miles an hour. What a finish for Jacob Mizorowski.
Madison's home of the Brewers. 100.5 ESPN.
Kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes after I remind you to tune into Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. The Bucks versus the World, narrated by Charlie Behrens, is the current episode. So find that on bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, your ESPN Wisconsin app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Packers continuing their practice, and I have an observation from what I just watched in a drill that I want to get Tausch's reaction to. I will tee that up for him to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which we will do in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.